Welcome back, friends, to Figure It Out Podcast, where we go through the winding river of life. I don't know about y'all, but my river is flowing. My raft, I got a bigger raft now. My raft is going. I got big logs. I got logs. I got paddles. I got big logs and paddles, and I'm just going around doing what I do and doing what we do, and we making it work. But, you know, the river yesterday is behind us. Tomorrow is in front of us, but today we is flowing. And Tish, hello. Welcome back to the show. Feeling great?
Thank you.
How you feeling? How you feeling? How you feeling?
I'm feeling dandy. I just came back from brunch.
There we go. At least we about to do this on a full stomach. I'm liking it.
I don't know how good that's going to be because, you know, I'm starting to get sleepy. But it's okay. We'll get it together. So, and you know what? I think this topic is wonderful because at brunch, kind of talked about it a little bit, which was your comfort zone.
And
stepping out of it, stepping out of the box. It was interesting because my girlfriend and I have attended a networking event recently, within the month. And I realized, and again, I keep referencing, I'm an extrovert with introvert tendencies.
We have to break that down for the folk that don't understand. Because they don't, we've been saying that a lot lately. They don't understand what it is.
So let's do that real quick before we, you know, move any further. So I'm an extrovert. So I, you know, don't like to be the life of the party, but I like, you know, I typically can get the party started. I'm very animated.
That kind of
over the top sometimes.
Penn State loved you.
I'm very happy. You know, I just like to be in a space of positivity. I like to make people laugh and all of that. So that's the extrovert. But when I say I have introvert tendencies, like I really could just like stay in my house and be fine. Like just be under the covers, eating some food in bed, watching TV. Like if I have to go outside and like people and I'm not in the mood to do that, then I'm I want to hide in a shell and stuff like that. And that's why I bring this up. And that's why I say I'm an extrovert with introvert tendencies. Cause when my girlfriend and I attended this event, we kind of gelled on the fact that we were having like social anxiety, something we've never had before.
Wow.
I'm telling you, that's pandemic.
That's interesting. Oh yeah. Cause everybody was shut down and not talking to people. And
right. And we got used to being 6 feet. Give me a bubble. That's all.
I was going to say, I think during the pandemic, the extroverts, I don't know how they survive. They're probably like, I need people. I want people.
I was good. I think because I was around people so much, I was good being inside. It was.
I'm like you. I'm an extrovert because, you know, I'm out there. You know, I do politics. I'm a, you know, competitor. I train. I do everything. Not the life of the party, but like you, I can get the party started. We found that at Penn State together, you know. And right. Then, but it's crazy because there's times when, like, I give so much of myself during the year for events and stuff like that to where it's like I'm around people all day. So when I do get home, that's my bubble. I really want to be home. Like, don't knock on my door. Like, don't text me. Don't call me.
Don't bother me.
Not to be rude. Just like, I was out there all day. People had access to me all day. Like, my phone rings 24/7. And I literally answer it 24/7. But, like, there's some times where I'm like, you know, I got to take this time for myself. I need a break. We got to shut people out. Not to be disrespectful, but, like, you know, like, pause real quick. I'll talk to you tomorrow. You know? But, yeah, so I understand the introvert quality because, like, introvert, you know, it gets me, like, time for me. And sometimes you got to press that reset button.
Right.
And if you don't get to press that reset button, you know, people going to think you're an angry individual.
And there are some angry individuals. But yeah, it just, we were like, we were excited to go. We were amped to go. But then when we got there, it was just like, people, we got to be around people. We got to do this people thing. And it was just like, okay. We know it was like, it was for the greater good of something. So that was kind of our driving force. We're like, okay, we're gonna do it because we're hoping to get something out of it, and we did it. And then, you know, that extrovert came out, you know, but it took some time. So that and then for me, so even though I'm an extrovert, networking is kind of new to me. Like, I can talk to people, but like to network, meaning like to talk to them intentionally on purpose to gain, you know, maybe information or even assistance from their business. That's kind of new to me. So that was stepping out of my comfort zone in that aspect. And
yeah, that's to me now, like in the comfort zone sense of that, like for me, you could put me literally in any room. And you know, some people like they had that doubt, like, I don't want to walk up to that person. I'm walking up to that person. Here's my card. Right. Hello, my name is such and such. What's your name? Like, that's me. I'm that person. It's like, you know, like, yo, like, if I didn't know you, I know you now.
Right. So like I can do that, but like with the intentionality that, like I said, to get something from someone, that's a little different. Like I could just have a general conversation with you, you know, find out what you do, but I'm not looking to take away like your business card or anything. Mm-hmm. I'm just having a conversation with you.
Gotcha.
So that's something. But honestly, I wouldn't say I have a lot of things that I'd have to step out of my comfort zone with. I would only say maybe in the terms of like food, there are just certain foods I don't want to try. And if you ask me to try it, that'd be stepping out of my comfort zone. And I'm not doing it. So,
all right, so let's break this down for our viewers. So we're going to figure this out today, breaking down the comfort zone, what's comfortable for you, what's outside the box, what's inside the box. What is right. your, I guess, I don't want to go too much into it because we talked about boundaries before, but we're going to put them in there a little bit because like it encompasses right. your comfort zone. So mm-hmm. with that being said, when do you think the comfort zone starts? Like, is it school, early education, early parenting? Like when you're like able to do things and your parent, like, I guess it depends on how far your parent lets you go out there. That determines right. what your comfort zone is and what you're willing not to do and what to do. So like, what does that look like for you?
For me? What is my comfort zone?
I mean, what, like when does it start? Like where does it start?
Okay. I think your comfort zone starts middle school. Okay. And I only say that because as a parent, I notice that my child, there are certain things that they won't do. And I'm like, you need to try it before you say you don't want it, you don't like it or something. So I think middle school is when people start to build a comfort zone. And, okay. you know, it just kind of grows as they grow. But, you know, with anything, you can step out of it. You could grow out of certain comfort zones, which I implore everybody to do, because when you stay within your comfort zone, you don't really... you're stagnant, you're not growing, you're not going anywhere. You need to step out of that to explore other things. And yeah. So my answer to your question is middle school. It starts in middle school.
I can currently agree with that. Cause I remember too, we were talking about on a previous episode where you was like, even after middle school, you get to high school and people are like, you said that people are looking at colleges and you're like, go away. I remember you specifically saying, go away.
Absolutely.
And like, don't stay local, like become you and make your own identity. So mm-hmm. like, I do agree with that. Cause I feel like people like living at home, being in that comfort zone, like, I don't want to go too far. I don't want to have to buy my own toilet paper, feed myself, so like that. So, but like that stunts your growth of what you can and cannot do. Or right. like the things that you can do that you don't know you could do, but you haven't tried yet.
Right.
I think that's the thing. So I do applaud you for, you know, telling people to get out there and like, you know, go to West Virginia. I wouldn't go to West Virginia, but go to West Virginia, you know, go to California, you know, go to Michigan.
Go to Canada. Like, go wherever. Just wherever you live, go away from it. Just, because it's funny. I can't remember the numbers, but there is a good number of people that have never left their state.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's a their crazy city, thing.
Their block, their neighborhood. We talk
right.
about this.
Yes. The world is much bigger than what you see. And you'll never know that unless you get away from it. So getting out of your comfort zone, getting out of that safe space for you. You need to, if anything, you know, I love the term. I hated it, but I love it. YOLO. You only live once. Like, legit.
You only live once.
Try it. Just do something, you know, not too crazy, but just do something different. You know,
I'd say
maybe
be crazy. You only live once. I'm just playing. Y'all. Don't be too crazy.
Don't, you know, people's thoughts can take over. And I'm like, don't do that. But Like you never know. There might be a festival that you wanted to go to, or there's a particular concert, but you're like, oh, I don't know. I don't like the neighborhood. I don't like the crowd or something. YOLO. YOLO. Like you never know unless you go. Like I just really wish, and I mean, even though I'm telling other people this, I kind of have to do it myself. I have to remind myself, you only live once, just try it, do it. You never know, you might like it, and just get myself out there. So having to go to that event and dealing with that, and but what I liked was the fact that I could identify that it was kind of like a social anxiety. That's the other thing with stepping out of your comfort zone, knowing what is holding you back. And I think once you can identify that, you can say, okay, so like for me, it was social anxiety. We can step away from that. Social anxiety is something that I don't think people realize they have. I think most people just flag it as anxiety. They're like, oh, I'm just nervous because of this, not equating that sometimes just being around people is actually the social anxiety. It's not just straight anxiety. You're just afraid to be around people. There's that thing. There's something that circulates on social media every once in a while, and it'd be like, uh-oh, there's people. And that's, social anxiety. People don't really realize. I'm telling you, that pandemic messed us up.
Set us back a couple decades.
A little bit. I'm like, why? Like I told you, extrovert, introvert, more introverted than extroverted as of lately. But I'm working on that. So, it doesn't matter. But people really need to step out their comfort zone. And that's with everything, with going to school, step out of your city, with different things you eat, with your friendships and relationships. Okay, well, I don't.
So let's pause there. So let's take it back, because we know that you love a good cuisine. But
Absolutely.
how did you develop your palate? Because you can't have a diverse palate if you don't step outside your comfort zone. Like, some prime example, Italians, like, oh, give me my Italian and spaghetti and meatballs and pizza and this and that. And then Black people are like, oh, give me my fried chicken and macaroni and cheese and collard greens. And the Asian people are like, oh, give me my sushi and fried rice. And like, so like, how do you get out of that zone and not basically eat what I guess is considered
What is
your culture?
culturally
What
right?
culture is you? So like, how did you start that? Like, what was your
That's a
first
good.
experience? Like, let me try this.
All right. That's a very good question. I am not 100% sure, but I think my just greediness and no, it's my inquisitiveness. I'm very curious about certain things. So when I go to a restaurant that maybe I'm not familiar with and I see the name, it really is like, oh, that sounds good. And I ask the wait staff, I'll be like, so what is this? And if it sounds good to me, once they explain it, I'll be like, all right, I'm gonna try it. Because again, like I said before, YOLO. You only live once. If you never try it, you'll never know. The
Yeah,
only
no, so
thing, hold on. I tried years ago. My mom at her job, she won this something that allowed us to go to a fancy restaurant. Like, and I mean fancy. Like we had to get dressed up fancy. And we tried escargot. Mind you, neither one of us knew what the heck it was. And we ate it and then found out after what it was. Yeah. That
I
was
was
an
like, can I
experience.
choose now or later? No, it's funny enough, because like, so I don't like when people go to a restaurant and like, or like, but I'll use me for example. So I'll go to a restaurant and I have my go-to. Like, if it's a buffet, whatever, I'm gonna get like my rice and like General Tso's chicken. Like, I can never go wrong. It's what I do. Or I'll be like, let me get some shrimp and like Alfredo, whatever. It's like, so like, I try to step out of that, because like, you don't want to go to a nice restaurant and you're eating the same thing you eat every time you go out. Like, that's not fun. You
No,
got
it's
to
boring.
experiment. You got to live, people.
Yes,
Can't be in
yes.
the on the same menu. I'm like, yo, what's today's special? I'm talking about like
Right.
Beauty and the Beast. Present your dinner. I mean, be our guest. I mean, that's what I want. You know?
I like Mexican food, or I should say Hispanic food, because it could be Mexican, Dominican, Puerto Rican, whatever. But that in itself, if you're not, from that culture, that in itself will get you out of your comfort zone, because obviously if you go to a real Hispanic restaurant, they're not going to just have tacos. They're not going to just have quesadillas. You're going to have to look at the menu and try something else. And again, we did that with a local restaurant. My mother got seafood soup, I want to say it was. Yeah, well, that seafood included octopus. We were not a fan.
Now, I commend schools on, so in my high school, we actually had an international day. So where everybody bought something specific from their culture, and you got to like dib in this, dab in that. I remember, I think that was my first time. I don't want to butcher and do it wrong, but it's like when, like in the Arabic or Indian culture, to where like it's like pita bread and like a certain sauce that you dip. It's like really good. It's not a taco, but it's like pita bread and something. But it's like hot curry. It's really good. But I gotta get the name of it. But like it's like it was different. And then, like, you know, like I said, like, I'm not like calamari fried octopus I could do. I can't do raw. Like, that would freak me out. That would definitely freak me out. I got married. Some prime scenario. One of my mom's friends at her law firm, they got married and they had a 12-course dinner meal at the wedding.
Wow.
And when I say after the fourth course, like after we got past the chicken and like the dumplings and the shrimp, at like course four came out, it was like fear factor. Well, no, I'm dead serious. Like, the intern, we're all looking at each other like, yo, who's going to try that first? Because it's not going to be me. No disrespect to the couple. It was just that, like, I'm like, quail egg. I try. I'm like, it was like fear factor. It was like a raw quail egg. Like,
raw.
It wasn't raw. It was like, I mean, Zimmerman did it when he was doing like Bizarre Foods, where it was, it was like it's a raw slash almost cooked baby bird.
Right.
Yeah,
right, because it's still got the runny stuff in the middle.
Nope. And so after that came out, there was something like, we was like, oh, the salad, we can eat the salad. And after the salad went out, then it was something with like grasshopper. Fried grasshopper wasn't that bad. I tried that. Mm-mm. Not bad. Protein. It wasn't too bad. But yeah, it was fear factor. I was like, man. And after that, 11th, 12th course came out. I don't think we touched anything after that.
And it's like, how do you eat all of that and then like go for dessert? Can you do that?
Ooh.
No. You're like, my stomach is hurting enough. Let's not add to it.
Give me traditional filet mignon, lobster tail, and chicken parmesan. That's your main wedding dishes and the main stuff there. All right, so let's switch gears. So that's food. So stepping outside your comfort zone with food is good. That way you can be well versed and hopefully you know well plump, but same thing with them. I would say like not to say neighborhoods, but like some people, like a prime scenario, if you always grew up in an apartment, then you got up, moved out to your mom's apartment and got your own apartment, got married, stayed in an apartment, you never left the comfort zone to say, do I want a house? Do I want a condo? Do I like the beach? So like even your living space could be like, get out your comfort zone, like. Go camping. I mean, I want to go camping. Actually, I want raw camping. Like, I want to like make the fire.
Oh, you want it? Oh,
sleep in the tent. No, to your own devices. You know,
I'm dead. I'm dead. No bear's coming after me. I am not running. I am not. Nope. Raw ground and sleeping on it. Absolutely not.
I'll try the wilderness.
You want to talk about back problems, sir? We are no spring chickens, even though I'm in my 20s. Still not a spring chicken. Not sleeping on raw sticks and twigs. That just calls for backaches in the morning. I'm A-okay. But I agree with you. Some people with their living spaces, they don't know anything else.
Right.
But then also changing your living space, that's scary in itself, especially if you're going from maybe like an apartment to a house.
Yeah.
Because you're used to a smaller space and then you're going to a bigger space and then you've got to take care of all of that space. You got to clean it, you know, decorate it. I don't think people realize how much interior decoration is stressing.
It's stressing. So like, I'm gonna go back real quick to my little childhood days. I specifically remember my mom and my brother when we used to have a two-bedroom apartment, which was one floor. Mm. I remember when we moved into our three-story house, we put everything in the apartment in there, and it was just so vastly empty. We got all of our stuff from one floor, separated into three rooms, the upstairs, downstairs, and basement. And we had all this extra space. And now we've been in the house, you know, for years. And now, like, the house is full. And so it was like, where did all this stuff come from?
Right. Yes, I completely agree. Zone, like, let's
decorate this here. We want this couch here, this TV here. We want this room to be this theme, this room to be that theme. It was like, but, like, that's coming out your comfort zone. You know, we upgrade it. But some people, like, they downgrade. And when they downgrade, they're like, where's all this stuff going? Because it can't fit into a one-bedroom flat or a one-story flat. You know, when you get elderly, you want to go back to that one store, that one ranch. You know, it's like, oh, what am I doing with this stuff? So that's a crazy job.
Although I see a lot of people, when they have to downgrade, they give away a lot of stuff. They don't even sell it. They just give it away because they need to just get rid of it. No space or time for holding on and trying to get some finances out of it. But yeah, and then the reverse can be said. Going from a house to an apartment, like you said, downgrading.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
So the funny part with downgrading, though, is when you realize, like, it comes down to, do I need this? Is this a necessity, or is it going to be in the way? Because at one point, you needed it or you wanted it bad enough to have it or buy it.
True.
Then you get to the point now, it's like, that's not needed. That can go. That can go to the thrift store. Or that can go donation pile. It's amazing to me. Like what we realize as we go forward, as we go on, is like, we didn't really need that. So company to think about that, what we need and what we don't need. In the comfort zone, where does that come from? Like, the need and the want versus, like, the gotta have.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Is that a taught behavior, learned behavior, or, like, trying to keep up with the Joneses?
I think it's a combination of all. I would say in today's world, it's probably more so a learned behavior. Because we're inundated with social media, we're always seeing this celeb or this well-known person with whatever car, jewelry feature in their house, and, you know, people are envious, so they want to obtain the same thing or at least something similar. So I would say mainly it's learned, because I know some families, and especially in different cultures, they teach you kind of like minimalist. Because, you know, you didn't come in the world with a lot. You don't need a lot. Don't have a lot. Right. So, you know, people will take from that. But like I said, the way things are going now, everybody is, you know, envious of everyone. So, like, keeping up with the Joneses. And, you know, between you and me, the Joneses can stay where they're at. My funds don't support the Joneses. So I'm not stepping out of my comfort zone to make myself broke. I am good.
All right. So now that you said that, so, like, we want people to understand and learn and figure out their comfort zones. But like you said, like, I'm staying where I'm at. So sometimes, like, your comfort zone is a safe space and is the best option. And a lot of times, to a lot of points, is the best option for you, because that keeps you grounded. That keeps you alive. That keeps you, you know, financially stable, not living outside your means, because you're comfortable. Absolutely.
Yes.
So I kind of agree with you there, Tish. A lot, actually. I can currently agree with you in that sense.
Thank you. Thank you. Take a bow. Take a bow. But I think that's something people need to really, like, look at themselves internally. And it's like, why are you buying this $1,500 piece of clothing? Does it really support your life? Like, who are you trying to impress? Like, nobody's going to know how much it costs. And then that's the other thing. Like, why are you so concerned with, like, a label or a name? Like, you, first off, you had to step out of your comfort zone to pay that amount of money for that said item. And half the time you wear it, people are not going to know and or care. So you could have saved all of that.
No, it's funny. So, like, now that you say that, because I remember not hypothetically, it's true. I was in school. I'm not gonna say the person's name, but his father was famous. And I remember he came to school and he had a $700 pair of True Religion jeans. And then he bragged, "These are True Religions. These are True Religion." Everybody, "Oh, John, $700, da 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 da." So I'm laughing, because, like, after I seen the same pair of True Religion jeans 9 times in a 2 week span, you know, 14 days minus 9. So you have 5 days where you wear something different, but out of them 9 days of that 2 weeks, you wear them True Religion jeans every other day, if not every day. Mm-hmm. So my thing is like, you paid the money for them, they have the name, but that you only have one. Now, right. Me, I listen, man, Foreman Mills and Models is my best friend on Clamp. Yeah. So I, from September to past Christmas break, I didn't wear the same thing not one time, and it all cost less than $20.
I know.
So, but that's my thing. So the people's like, well, here's this guy, you know, doesn't care if I have a label on it or not. He didn't wear no clothes for the last 90 days twice. And this guy, you know, one pair of $700 True Religion jeans,
right?
9 times in 14 days. So 14, then times that by 3 or 4. So in 90 days, you probably wore them about 70 of them days.
And for what? For what?
Just to say you had True Religion jeans. So that's my like comfort zone. Like, I was never big on, like, obviously keeping up with the Joneses, but like, I was just always in my own lane. And right. Like, that's what we talked about that in my first episode, like being in your lane. Like, your lane's where is that sometimes? Because like, you try to keep up with other people, it's going to put stress on you. And then at the same time, if you're doing you correctly, like we're doing us with this podcast, then people mm-hmm. are trying to catch up. They're trying to catch us.
Right.
Trying to be like Tish and Andrew. What is Tish and Andrew up to? I'm trying to be on a show. It was like, it happened. We stay in our lane and it's mm-hmm. just coming back fivefold, tenfold. So right. Like we're in our comfort zone. We're not trying to be nobody else.
Absolutely. There you go. That part. Definitely and not.
That part. that part. So by us not trying to be nobody else and being ourselves, we can actually stay true to ourselves and not try to, like you said, like we're not trying to duplicate other things that's out there. Like we, like I said, we don't have a set script to where, oh, we got to do it this, like the Steve Harvey show. Right. I love them. Bless you guys. But like, you know, it keeps them on track. But like, they have a time for this joke, time for this thing. Go off mm-hmm. killer for like 2 minutes. Got to bring it back to this, then play a song. It's like, we don't do that.
No.
We let it flow. We authentic, right. We true, and it shows every time. Every time we have a guest, it shows. They're like, yo, like, this is nothing. Like, it's a podcast. Like, the only thing we have that's the same is it's called a podcast.
Right.
But the experience on this podcast, on this platform, it speaks volumes, and it's super different.
It's different for every guest. Like, we're not having that same conversation. We're always taking from it. And what I think is pretty dope about our show is the fact that, you know, we're helping our guests figure something out because we're providing them a different perspective, even mm-hmm. though, you know, we might not be immersed in what they're doing. But from our viewpoint, we can say, oh, maybe try this, or maybe you might want to do this, or have you thought about that? And that's something I really like that our show does. But I agree.
I think it puts the guests outside their comfort zone. It puts us, even though this is our comfort zone, we reach out and like, I mean, we had different guests. Like, we have topics like, man, you have topics that you like, it's not my wheelhouse, so I'm a, you know, fall
right
back here. And
there you go.
And we've had topics where I'm like, that's not my thing, but I'm gonna try to get in here. And we have guests that like, I love when our guests come on the show and was like, oh, like 2 shows ago, y'all were talking about this. I love that. Because then they're learning something and they bring that and they include that into their show. And it's like we're weaving and we're knitting and we're just making a big quilt. And by the time this quilt's done, we're gonna cover the world.
That's right. I like it. I do. Yeah. I mean, because everybody in the world, you know, regardless of what language you speak, you're trying to figure something out. You never know what you can take from somebody else's story or journey. So that's why, you know, I would love for us to expand. I mean, I feel we have a little bit of reach internationally, but I would love for us to really reach a little bit more. I don't really know how, but, you know, that will work itself out when the time comes.
We will definitely get there. And I love the fact that, too, is our guest. Like I said, we have our question that we ask every guest.
Mm-hmm.
And the variations of answers that we get and receive.
I do like that.
I mean, it's like the same math problem, but a different way to the answer.
Right. Yep. That's right. And that I hope our friends who listen realize that no answer, because we never condemn anybody's answer, but no answer is right. No answer is wrong. That's how you feel. And then also with our questions, I feel we're pushing our guests out of the comfort zone because mm-hmm. they aren't aware of these questions beforehand. asking them on the spot, it's really like setting them up like, whoa, what now? What is my answer to that
How do I
question?
really feel? Like, how do I really feel about this? Honestly, for real. Like, it puts them in
Right.
the, they think they figure themselves out. Like, you know, let me soul search. Let me look inside. Let me look deep. And I'm figuring it out on the spot. I'm figuring it out. I'm going through it. And it puts them outside their comfort zone, in their comfort zone, to our comfort zone. Loving it.
Absolutely. Now, you had said something earlier, or I think I did. I don't remember, but relationships, I did. It was relationships and stepping out of
Comfort zone
your
and
comfort
relationship.
zone.
So I'm gonna touch on that a bit.
Okay.
You think like so like people when people are I'm gonna use dating. When people are dating, I feel like they date two ways, in their comfort zone to what they think they deserve. And that puts them
Okay.
in a cycle of the same individual, different person, different body, different shape, but same individual overall, because that's their comfort zone. They don't want to step out to like, I don't like the nerdy guy with the glasses. That's not my thing. Or I don't like the guy, you know, that's studying to do this. I don't like the guy that does the sport. It depends on what you like. If you're a smart person, not say smart person, but if you're a smart person that's all about books, you might not be into the sports person that, you know, going to the games and doing that. And vice versa. If you're the sports person, you might not want to be like, you know, in the book or like chilling, watching TV or on some chill stuff. You want to be more active and like ride bikes and go out and like be athletic about it. So like that puts them dating in your comfort zone. It keeps you to a certain type.
Yes.
And if you're in that certain type, that type has like, no, I don't want to say it the wrong way, but that type is a type. And you're going to get this, I don't want to say it's insanity, but you're going to get the same result over and
Yes.
over again, messing with that same
Yes.
type. Gotta think outside the box. But like, so are you on along the lines of that, or are you somewhere else with it?
I agree, but no, when I was thinking about relationships, I was thinking about like what you do in a relationship.
Okay.
Like, you know, the different dates you might have, or you know,
Like for a prop scenario, like I know somebody that don't like anything spontaneous. Don't surprise me with anything. It was gonna be a disaster. Now I
that's
don't
a
know where that
boring
comes
life.
from, because it could be like, it's a story of my life. It's like,
No, not
don't
the
give me
start of my
nothing.
life. I said that's a
Oh,
boring life.
I was gonna say, don't give me no surprise party. I want to know what's
Oh.
going on, what time we're doing this, what time we're leaving, what time we going to bed. I'm like, what? I'm trying to go on vacation. That's why, like, I don't want to put my personal
So
out there. That's why
that
my wife is so awesome. She's so spontaneous. We can get up, go. We can just chill. We can cook together. We can order out together. We ride. But we do everything. It's just spontaneous. It's a good life. It's nothing's boring. Everything's unpredictably great. Not saying that because I'm in this great place, but like just unpredictably great. Versus being somewhere is like you want to go out and you have to beg somebody to take you out or beg for attention, beg for this. Like that's that same thing of like being in that cycle of that same individual because you don't want to step outside the box.
Right. But then stepping outside of the box in relationships. So, okay, you said if you have a type and you keep dating that type, you know, you're going to get the same result. But what if you step outside your comfort zone? Okay, so say your example was someone who's really into books and not being interested in someone who's into sports. Well, what if you try that and you find that that
You
works?
might listen. We seen she's all that and he's all that and how they mix them up and like, yo, listen, like it works out. Opposites attract. They just don't know it.
Sometimes,
Cause like
not
even like
the
all right, so like I commend people like so let's take it back to like the early 50s and 60s. Not to say that they're pioneers, but like, you know, Plessy Vergus Ferguson or like, you know, or the Virginia, the laws of Virginia, like the interracial couple dated. That was outside their comfort zone. When you in that type of time, when you had a black woman dating a white man, society frowned down upon it. And then it went farther when a black man dated an Oriental woman and then so forth. And then it's like everybody's blending now. It's like it's acceptable. But like at that
Is it
time,
though?
more than not. All right, so like
There's some
you'll see,
people.
yeah. I mean, everybody has their preference, but like you said, but
Right.
not to get in cancel culture, but like you are
Yeah.
right, where like there are some supremacists that want to keep it pure by
Yeah.
any means necessary. So Yes, I see their point of view. I see the black point of view where it's like, don't mix here, don't mix there. I see the Latino point of view where it's like, well, you know, Puerto Ricans don't date black people or we date white people. I see Asian people saying, oh, we're only going to date white people and not Asian people. They get upset. So, like, that is outside the box. That is outside the comfort zone because, like, it takes a lot of time for people to accept that. Like even getting married young or dating young, people are like, all right, you're married at 25? What? You should have waited till you're at least 40. You're not
Oh,
living.
God.
Oh, you're doing. But like back in the day, they was married by 17, had three kids by 20. They was grandparents by 40, and then they was off at war fighting, doing what they do. Like
I was
that
gonna
was their
say, yeah,
comfort
very
zone.
different time though, but
D
that was
different
the
time.
reason
We're
why.
in the tech time now. We're in the tech babies.
We're
You
in a
know,
very liberal time. Just
iPads
free.
and Xboxes. But no,
Shimmy.
but back in that time though, seriously, like outside the box, like they pioneered and like they had to like, step out on faith alone. And there was the minority, and they kind of get into the majority, but like they're still the minority. As you said, like, you know, people like they accept it, but like, do they really behind closed doors?
Right. That's the thing. Which is, again, not to get into cancel culture, but you know, who somebody choose to love and be with, that's their thing. You know, it might not be your thing. You don't have to accept it, but don't, like they say, don't yuck their yum. I absolutely just like hate that saying.
So, and sticking on that relationship-wise, but let's take it to the workplace. There's some employers that will only hire a certain type of way, and they wonder why. Dang, why isn't my business growing? Why isn't my business or why can't I get to that next level? Why can't I break that threshold? Because you're not thinking outside the box. Because you're scared to innovate. You're scared to hire another person or have another group come in and like you know. And like get you to the next level, give you a different perspective so your business can evolution. Oh, it's evolution. Evolution. Excuse me.
Evolve.
You gotta evolve. Evolution is real and
Oh,
it is there.
goodness.
Like it's
Yes.
like it's not natural selection. Like your business, you have to incorporate new things and put it in the mix for it to succeed. Because like
Right.
the only thing right now that's like oh, that's still working is the will.
Yeah, you can't
Now,
change
but
that.
can't change the will, but you can amend the will to like, you know, it won't break as easy. You got rubber around it now. You got different materials, so it lasts a lot longer. It's more durable. I mean, so that's what you got to do in business. And people are scared to take those chances of like moving to somewhere else or like getting new people in, different perspective or relinquishing power to get power. Like
Now
all of you like
that's a thing.
so we had a couple of guests on recently that had their stories and stuff. And like they said, like it's hard to go from owner operator to owner and manager and like relinquish power and let it do what it do. Like your vision's already there. You're already successful, but you gotta let it do what it do.
You gotta let go of the reins and just let it run on its own course.
And that's in everything. And then another thing that I like, I'm gonna get it back around and loop around. We're gonna tie it up in a bow and then present it to the world. One of my favorite animals are birds. Tish, I'm gonna give you one. Why are birds one of my favorite animals? Not because they could fly.
I don't
I
know,
got
Andrew.
it. I'm gonna
Why?
give it to you. I don't know, Andrew. I'm gonna give it to you. They're one of the few that literally think outside the box, or in this word, outside the nest, or AKA outside the tree. They just take their foot and push their young out and better flap them wings
Sink or
because
swim.
the ground gonna hurt. And you know what? Nine times out of you got that tenth little birdie that's gonna hit the ground and God bless his little soul. But
Oh,
the other nine gonna flap their wings and they gonna fly and
goodness. Oh,
they gonna succeed and they gonna
my
be outside the box and into the big world and do what they do.
Okay, so
Help
you
people
just want to
change.
push your young out. Got it. You heard that, world. You heard that, friends, right? When he procreates again, he's going to just push him out. That's
Get out
all.
the nest.
He's
No,
like,
but no,
your
like,
time here is done.
no. But take that nurturing and that outside the box mentality, and not just your young, like, you know, take that with yourself. Push you outside the box. You know, like, you know, like, try a different food. Push the food on your plate. Make it go there. You know,
Yes.
Invest
These are
your
not a
money in
killer.
something else that you never invested in before. Make it
Just not
different.
drugs. Just not
You know,
drugs.
turn a different way and go home a different way. Mix it up a little bit.
But it's shorter this way. Why would I do that?
I mean,
That would be some people.
If it's
some
shorter,
people's
don't
logic.
burn gas because gas is expensive.
Yeah.
But
where did that? Let hold on. Let's talk. That's a comfort zone. Yeah. Oil companies, y'all just stepped out your comfort zone once the pandemic hit and said, we are going to raise the prices extremely. Like, why? Why?
Ain't nobody going nowhere.
Right. Why? Just, can I tell you, I remember the days when gas was a dollar and change.
I remember, yeah, I started driving, it was 109.
Oh my God. How did we get to $3? Almost four. Why?
Well, I pay $5.15 for my premium and it hurts every time I fill up my tank.
I'm sure it does. I'd cry. I would not drive. I promise you I wouldn't drive if I had to do
that.
Oh,
it's parked in front of the door. And she need a job.
Like, why? They definitely just said, we're going to step out and see what happens. And because it's a necessity in order for our cars to run, we're going to buy it, you know, as much as it's going to hurt our pockets or whatever. Like, we're going to have to make life decisions at the gas pump. Like, do we get a full tank or do we just get like $10?
Just enough to get to work.
There you go. Do I just need like a couple gallons? I know where it's going to go.
No, but like, all right, so this is funny though. Not funny because it's expensive, but it's funny because now that gas is that expensive, like before you would put gas in and then people would drive aimlessly. I'm gonna go here, stop by this store, go to this person. Now, like, you put that little $15 in your tank and like you're like, all right, I'm gonna work.
Yeah,
you
planning
work. And then when I'm going to this route to pick the kids up from here, I gotta pick the kids up here, go to the market, scoop around to grandma's house and go back home all in one swap. We ain't wasting no gas, we ain't wasting no stops.
Yes.
But it makes you think now. And like, I think that if we were thinking earlier and like living that way earlier, we wouldn't be in this predicament.
No, I think we would. Because we don't control the oil prices. They were going to raise it regardless. Although I think when they really were trying to get it up to like $4, I think we all as a nation did a decent job of not driving as much. Kind
yeah,
of sending
paying.
A message.
Not paying.
Yeah.
All right, so that's it as a nation. So outside our comfort zone, don't want to stay on politics too long. But for you know, people, oh, it's this side versus that side, this side, that side. I think if both sides came out of the comfort zone, we get a whole lot more accomplished.
Ooh, that part. Yeah, we're not going to get political because I could say something that's really controversial, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to. I'm going to keep it for myself because I don't do cancel culture. Thank you. So moving on from that, got on a nice little tangent there. Yeah, comfort zone applies to anything, any and everything. Honestly, you
right,
know.
So while we're there, I'm gonna put the line out there. Comfort
throw it
zone.
Out.
Comfort zone in music.
Yes, that is definitely a thing.
Nope. Are you that person? Are you going? You don't want to hear nothing new.
No! I thought you were gonna say if I listen
oh,
to
no,
the
no.
same thing. No!
I'll just say it like that. Are you one of these like so like I got people that I know that they listen to. They have their music. They have their artists, and they don't want to hear nothing new from nobody else because it ain't they artists.
No, I'm not that way. You're limiting yourself. What? I'm because, you know, going to Penn State and being immersed in different cultures, I think that aside from being West Indian is part of the reason why I listen to all kinds of music. Child, I will wake my child up to K-pop. We have listened to heavy metal. We put on oldies. I like to listen to all kinds of stuff, you know, Indian music, because it just gives you a better appreciation for music and cultures. And then sometimes you hear the similarities in the music that you know in other culture music.
All right, so I'm gonna give you one. I'm gonna give you a not an assignment, or our friends out there, I'm gonna give you a pastime if you want to engage in diversifying yourself in music, if you want to hear something new. So me and my partner, we were driving, and we started at 1970, and we played every number one song for that year from 1970 to now. And it was amazing, not number two, number three, number four song, but like the number one song for that year. And as it played out, you would get an oldie, you would get a metal, you would get a country, you would get a hip hop. And like, so like, you're like, I know that song. I didn't know that song. I heard that song. But it's funny because like, it's all different. And then you get into the thing like, oh, the number three song should have been a number one song. Like, if our person, like my year, 1987, it was Whitney Houston's I Want to Dance with Somebody. You know, everybody know that song. Everybody's there. And then like, you know, it goes there, you know, you're not like 2014, 15, where it was Pharrell's Happy, you know, everybody was dancing, jamming, doing everything. So it's funny because like you go through like the time, you're like, oh yeah, I remember that. Oh yeah. So like if you want a little pastime, y'all, just I encourage you, like, play the top song for the year or the top five for that year, and like, you know, you get through it, and then you'll diverse yourself and become, you know, outside the box, you know, out your comfort zone when it comes to music. Yes. I would do the same thing, we know. I can't say with cars, because like some people, like, you know, some people love Honda, some people love Toyota, some people love their foreigns. But like I say, step out the comfort zone, because they can charge you a lot if you're flexible. That's all I'm saying.
I'm like, are you telling people to go buy a car?
Oh no, the job, just an experiment, you know.
Oh okay. So do a Toro. Gotcha.
Yeah, try it.
I've been meaning to do that. My child wanted to drive in a particular car, and I said I was going to do it, and I just never got around to it. So maybe that's a thing for when we have time. Go rent that particular vehicle and just drive around. Although, probably won't go that far. No, but it's an electric car.
I'm glad you said that, though, because, like, so renting. Like, a lot of people don't get into the renting versus buying or leasing versus buying or selling. But, like, I think that's good because, like, I don't want to own a Lamborghini. I would like to drive in a Lamborghini, experience a Lamborghini, but not with the Lamborghini price. So like, I would pay like, I think, no, so there's this tour where I think you pay like, I think it's $250, but then you go down to the racetrack and you get to drive like Lamborghini, Ferrari. So like, you can knock off your bucket list. I drove every exotic car for $250 and I'm still good in my pockets.
Right.
I mean, some people are like, oh, like Jay Leno, oh, I got 3,000 cars like that. You have one butt. You only can drive one car at one time.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Certain cars do appreciate in value, especially if it's a classic.
I mean, if you're a collector, you're classic, but that's a different story.
Right. But it's just, when you pass, what you doing with all them cars? What have you put in your will for those cars?
All right, so let's talk about will. Comfort zone. Some people won't ride them because that says that they're gonna die.
What? That's not smart.
I know people that will not write a will. They're like, oh, that's me accepting my death, and I'm not ready to do that. Totally their call. Totally understand. Right. Totally their call. But like, that's outside that comfort zone. It's like making sure your loved ones are good after you're gone.
You want to do that. And you know, it's funny you bring that up. I keep talking to a girlfriend of mine, and I'm like, yo, I keep meaning to put my burial stuff together. And I know that sounds so weird at my age, but I'm just like, I don't think I want to be having nobody deal with that. Just do it myself. Because like, when someone passes and they don't have those plans put together, you're kind of stuck in a little situation.
The craft show. Wait, have you seen Come to America 2?
Of course.
All right, not to be a spoiler for the Prince, if you didn't see it. If you haven't seen it yet, please press pause for the next 30 seconds. But when the king has his own funeral while alive, that was crazy.
Right.
He's like, I want it done this way, like this. I want dancing girls over here. I want elephant spine over here. It was like, but that's what you want to go out with. Like, do it. Do it.
I don't know about doing that, but
they want to put you in the box all, his favorite color was blue. No, it wasn't.
Yeah, like, and I guess that is a comfort zone, but that, I think it's more a taboo than comfort zone type thing, like writing your will or just putting in place your funeral arrangements and stuff like that. It's, I don't know, having preparedness is what people need to step out of their comfort zone and think about. Just being prepared, because you never know what can happen. In a blink of an eye, something can happen. You know, the way this city is going, and anything can happen, unfortunately, at any time, any place, which is disheartening.
You got bridges falling out the clear blue, getting hit by boots. That was tragic. But like, it's unexpected, as you said, and it's like, I think that the stepping out your comfort zone to be prepared, to have your family prepared, is the better move.
Option. Yep. It is. Because I don't know if people realize, when your family, when you pass and your family is grieving, nobody is thinking straight.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And that is definitely true. 100%.
Nobody is thinking properly. So if you have plans of action already put in place, it just makes their grieving process a whole lot easier.
So it is, because like, I mean, I don't want to get too morbid, but like, trying to write somebody an obituary while you don't have it all, while you're grieving, while you lost, while you're trying to figure things out, is like, it's like, well, where did she go to school? Or where did she do this? Like, who did she do? Like, where is this? Like, it's so many details. And like, this is going to sound so weird on so many levels, but like, I encourage y'all, write your own story and put it there. That way, like, I'm not trying to say, oh, like, write your obituary, but like, literally write your obituary, because like, who's going to know you better than you?
Right. And then all that the family has to add is, you know, maybe who is left behind. They can figure that part out. But as far as like, you know, where you went to school, what you were interested in and all those kind of things, nobody would know that better than you do. So, I mean, I agree with you on that one.
Outside the comfort zone. I mean, do your thing.
Right. There's so many things you could really dive into with regards to outside of your comfort zone. And I think we just touched on a few, but if people really sit and think about it, there's a bunch of things that you could do. You know, your physical appearance, you could step out of your comfort zone with that. Like, you know, maybe you dress in black all the time. Maybe you want to try a pop of color. You know, maybe your hair has been a certain way for most of your life. Maybe you want to try a different style. Maybe you want to go do the big chop, you know, or maybe you want to experience what hair is like and get a man unit, you know, for men, or, you know, get a different type of install for women. You know, you never know. So
there. So it's funny to say that, though, because like, some people comfort zone too is like sitting there and letting themselves go. It's a comfort for some people. It is, and it's sad, because like, there's so much stuff out there. Like, I say, like, get up and go. I mean, like, if something's not stimulating your ego or your charisma, like, to get out there and find something that you like to do, and even if it's once a week, just go and do it. That way, that keeps you mobile. Because you want to sit there. I don't want you guys to become, none of my friends listen to my show. I don't want you on my 900-pound life and all the other good stuff that they be, you know, like, it, like, that is sad, because like, that's to me says out my comfort zone. In my comfort zone, I gave up. That should never be an option for, you know, for anybody. Like, so I think everybody's like, you got to find that one thing. Get out your comfort zone and find that one thing. Sometimes it's your kid. Sometimes it's like music, like you said, music. Sometimes it's a hobby. But like, don't succumb and let the walls close in around you, because that's not living. And this show, we want y'all to live. We want y'all to succeed. We want y'all to figure it out. And if figuring it out is just, you know, a portion of you that you got to figure out to get to the bigger you, I'm with you. I'm your friend to the end, and not the little Chucky.
The little Chucky.
I'm your friend to the end.
I never watched that movie. That was not my thing. I don't do horror movies.
Get out your comfort zone with all the fairy tales and happy endings.
Okay, but see, I don't like those. That watching rom-coms and stuff would be getting out of my comfort zone. I can't stand those things. I've told you, I don't like Hallmark and Lifetime. I like action movies. I like those things. I like comedy. Like Bad Boys 2 or 4, I think it is. When it comes out, I'm there. And I just discovered, because I don't think any of us knew Mike's last name. in the movie? Will Smith's character? And I just
Mike. What is
no,
his last
Mike.
name?
There's Mike Lowry, and it's the other one.
Yeah, Lowry, right?
Yeah, but what's the other one's full name?
I don't know.
Ha ha! Yeah, I just discovered that. And I'm not going to say what it is. Because, yes,
I'm
because.
Gonna some, I'm going to do some research.
There you go. Step out your comfort zone. Go find out.
No, but friends, like, seriously, though, like, the thing with figuring it out, and we do figure it out always,
mm-hmm.
sitting in something long enough, the answer will come to you.
True.
Sometimes you got to be still. Let the water move around you.
Mm-hmm.
And as the water moves around you, the answer will float by. Just grab it. Pick it up.
Just grab it. Yeah, you're very correct.
Pick it out. Don't go bobbing for apples, but pick it up.
Just grab it. Just.
Oh, wait, pause real quick. I just want to say, whoever created that game for kids' birthday parties, y'all nasty. All them germs from people bobbing for apples, slobbering in the water. Y'all out of pocket.
That is true. It's true. I mean, it's never a game I've ever played, but yeah. I think you see those at fairs.
Yeah, well, yeah, the fairs. How many people go to the fair? 3,000 people a day times 10 days that they're there, 30,000 people. That's crazy.
Mm-mm. They need a water
Everybody
filtration
trying to
system.
Opera apples and
recycle the water. Nope, we're good. Not in today's day and age. Anyways.
I'm staying in my comfort zone of that. I will not be bobbing for apples.
He said, I won't be bobbing for apples. Hey, I'm fine with that too. So, all right, friends. Be sure to like, share, comment, and subscribe. You can revisit episodes of Figure It Out wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you don't know by now, we are everywhere.
Everywhere.
You better tell somebody.
Like, get out your comfort zone. Find
get out
us on
your
a
comfort
different
zone.
Find us on a different platform.
You go. Listen
find
to
us on Facebook. You know on Facebook, find us on Instagram. If you don't find us on Instagram, look up for us on YouTube. You know, YouTube, then log in on Saturday morning to 215 Jumping. You know, listen, there's ways to find
us. Yes.
Get out your comfort zone and find us.
There you go. And you know what? And our hope is that we helped you figure something out today. Like you just heard Andrew, get out your comfort zone. You heard us. And until next time, peace and love.
Peace and love. Yeah. Out of our comfort zone.